You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Dave's Corner Garage. Heard every Saturday morning from 10 to 11 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Dave's Corner Garage. Heard every Saturday morning from 10 to 11 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740.
A mechanic tries to fix your car. No matter if you're near or far, he'll change your oil or fix your flat, and he'll do it just like that.
From Barrie to Port Perry, Toronto to Buffalo, take a joyride with Zoomer Radio AM 740 and the boys in Dave's Corner Garage, coming to you from the main bay at Queen and River. Got a car question for Dave Redinger or Alan Gelman? Call now, 416-360-0740. Or toll free in Ontario at 1-866-740-4740.
There we go,
Davey! You know what?
I was just thinking, maybe we should sit here and not say anything.
I can't do that.
I know that. Good morning, everybody. It's Dave Redinger again with Alan Gelman, and today's special guest in studio, alive, Dave Woodford from the OPP. Good morning, David.
Good morning.
Hey, how are you?
Good, because there's no truck rollovers today.
So. Yeah, we should just call you Beethoven from now on, because whenever there's a rollover, Beethoven's there, yeah. Man.
All joking aside, that's really serious stuff, though, right?
Yeah, it is, yeah.
Best one was when the guy hit the rock cut and all that money fell out. I have this magnetic bracelet. I was going to go up there and help them,
They used to actually a magnet on the back of a backhoe to pick a lot of episodes. Yeah.
Can you imagine?
I know.
I mean, how much money was there? Millions of dollars?
$5 million or something like that.
Is that how much those Brinks trucks carry?
Well, I don't think it was a Brinks truck. I don't know how they transport it, but I don't think it was actual. Brinks truck was a tractor trailer.
Amazing stuff. Imagine now, I'm sure guys are going to go up there now and see if they left any. Anyways, what we'll do is we got an interesting show lined up. Joining us, obviously, is Dave Woodford from the OPP. Dan McTeague, the gas price watchdog. Oh. I got a letter from a guy telling us that we're too flippant about gas prices. We're joking around. It's not serious stuff. And he's absolutely right. We're a bunch of idiots down here. But the reality is, I said it. Dan will come down and he set us all straight.
So did he flip you off?
Kind of.
Okay.
But nicely. Yeah. He ended the letter saying nothing personal. Anyways, and secondly, we're going to be joined by Gary Clayton. And this gentleman remanufactures old radios for older cars. So we're going to talk to him. It's called Old Time Radio, spelt the old English way. Interesting stuff. And we're talking about radio. Remember that AM 740 is trying to get the FM signal so that we can be heard better downtown. So if you get on the website, do us a favor, have a look at it, write a letter. Today's the last day, so let's get that done, and we'll go right to the phones.
All right, we're going to go to, where do you want to go, Dave? We're going to go to this anti-theft problem.
Yeah, Dave's here, so might as well.
Auntie Carol from Hamilton has got an anti-theft problem. What's going on, Carol?
Good morning, gentlemen. Thanks for taking my call. Yes, I have an 02 Saturn. Okay. Mm-hmm. Now, it has built into it from the factory this anti-theft thing on it, that if somebody tries to break your ignition or something like that, it'll shut the gas off, and it won't let you start the car. You just get
Right.
So for some reason, this darn thing kept kicking in on me. Like, it happened to me about 8 times now, and I can't get the car started unless I get out and take the battery cable off.
So you're probably better off if someone did steal that car anyway.
No, who would want it?
That's the whole redundancy of this whole thing here.
Yeah. So it does say, I have a book on the car, and it did say with the transmitter, if I go through a process of pushing one button 4 times, and then I got 3 seconds to push the other one, I'm supposed to be able to shut that stupid thing off. Now, I did try that the other day, but I'm not sure it took. And the other interesting thing about it is the last time it pulled this on me, which was just Friday, it wiped the odometer clean. So right now I have 62 kilometers showing on my odometer.
Hey, low mileage car. It was worth a fortune.
But you know what? That may be part of the issue. It could be that the theft deterrent system is built into the back of the dashboard. We see that on General Motors cars, where the computer has to see the dashboard, and that may be why your car's not starting. You know what? Take it in the garage and have them check the connections on the back of that dash cluster. It could be that that's the problem. It's unfortunate, though, because, again, your car's not, it's a nice car, but it's not worth $1 million. $1,000 and you don't want to be spending too much money on it.
It starts perfectly most of the time. I've never had a problem with it. It's a great little car and it's in perfect condition.
Well, no, exactly. But unfortunately, at this point, because you've got this, you know, this bug in there that's not letting it start, somebody's going to have to get to the bottom of it.
You have to. There are diagrams which are called ground circuits.
Right.
All kinds of different connectors will go to one post, and that post is a ground circuit. And more likely, being the age of the car, that may be corrosion at a ground circuit. So go to a shop that is specializing electric. Where do you live?
Oh, I live in Hamilton.
Okay.
Because do they have a car theft problem out there?
Well, no.
Well, they don't steal Saturns.
No.
No.
Actually, you know, the weirder your car, the less they're going to steal it because where you're going to go with it, right?
Right.
That's the truth.
Yeah, what you want to find is some automotive shop that specializes in electronics.
Yes,
stuff.
Okay. Yes, definitely.
And if you go on April 1st, it's ground circuit day, as a matter of fact. April 1st is ground circuit day, and they fixed your grounds for nothing.
I thought it was mechanic appreciation day.
Carol, lots of luck with your Saturn. Give us a call. I'll tell you how you make out.
If you don't make out, you call us, and we'll make out with you. Don't worry.
What I'm concerned about is the next time I go, like for an e-test or go get my license and my odometer showing such a low mileage, is that going to cause me a problem?
No, not at all.
No.
Nothing to be concerned about.
No.
Just keep some of your service records in the car where your invoices actually say the correct mileage.
Okay.
Alrighty?
Yeah, so if you ever sell it, you can verify the mileage.
Okay
take
great.
Care, Carol.
Thank you very much.
Oh, you're welcome, love. Bye-bye.
Do you know what? It could influence her.
Why?
Because if she goes to trade it in, that car is like new. It only has 62,000 kilometers on it. Okay, we've got a beautiful Saturn in Hamilton, hardly driven. You can have it today only.
Basic price is. Hey, by the way, when we come back, we'll answer that age-old question. If a man is alone in the woods, there isn't a woman within 200 miles, is he still wrong?
This is Dave's Corner Garage on the new AM 740. We'll be right back.
Hard tops in Halton and pickups in Peterborough. Put it on the hoist in Dave's Corner Garage on Zoomer Radio AM 740. To reach Dave and Alan with your car question, call 416-360-0740 or toll-free in Ontario at 1-866-740-4740.
Here we go. Are you ready for this?
I'm ready.
This is a big hit. Have you ever heard of...
This is very slow. Did you write this?
No, I didn't write it. I can't take credit for the writing.
This sounds like you.
Here we go. You ready? Because I'm a man. Yes, I am. And I get...
All right. We're back.
Well, we were talking about man caves.
Alan, that is the worst music I've ever heard.
Well, you know what? There was a sweet spot in the middle that he just didn't find. That was the problem, okay?
So did you actually do that?
I did, but we just did it on a hand kind of recorder. You know what? You're making me feel bad. I'm going to have to come up with a new recording and we'll bring it back
next
week.
You don't sing in your group, do you?
No, unfortunately, we don't have anybody who can really sing, you know. I'm the drummer. If you listen to that very carefully, you would hear that rock steady beat was going in the background.
Okay, yeah.
Nobody beats it like me.
Okay.
Okay, we're back. Yeah. Let's get back on air. All right, welcome back. It's Dave's Corner Garage. By the way, Alan was on the record there, and I don't know what the label is. It's probably Do Not Play.
It's called The Garage Tunes. The Garage Tunes.
Dan McTeague is joining us. Dan is with Gas Price. Tomorrow's Gas Price Today. That's Dan's website. Danny, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Dave. Good morning, Alan. Listen, you need a backup vocalist, let me know.
Yeah, see? There you go.
All right. Okay, Thursday night, so I'll give you the address later on.
I think it sounds better with a 2-4.
Several.
So tell me, I was reading the Star this morning, and they're talking about the gas prices going up, 12% this so far this year? And they're blaming it on speculators.
Well, it's nice that this Toronto Star has finally figured out what is driving the prices. It certainly isn't supply and demand, and it's not about people conserving or not conserving. It's unfortunate that so much effort has been made on pointing fingers in different directions.
Yeah.
But it's really critical people understand that what's driving the price of fuel isn't simply people putting a lot of money in oil. It's actually people putting a lot of money in gasoline futures in particular, and they've been doing so since January the 1st, about $13 billion in pension money, hedge money, mutual funds have all gone into gasoline in the belief that somehow there's going to be some kind of a shortage. And so with that much money coming in, it becomes sort of a self-fulfilling prophecy. If there's that much false artificial money going into propping up gasoline futures, well, guess what? Gasoline prices will go up, even though oil, as we saw this week, went down.
Oil went down. Profits from the refineries are down. And I think they were talking about Dakota has enough gas, enough oil in the ground for 150 years.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the oil situation has probably never been better. And in case anybody hadn't noticed, the world has been in a serious economic crisis since 2008 caused by, drum roll please, excessive speculation as a result of Americans allowing private and unregulated trading exchanges like Goldman Sachs, like Intercontinental Exchange, to self-regulate. In other words, I could put a penny down and move $1,000 worth of oil or gasoline if I wanted to, because there's no requirement that I actually put down a decent margin.
So is there a quick answer on what we can do about this? How do we get our prices down?
What Canada's got to do is wake up and smell the coffee. It might be good for certain regions of the country to have, you know, high oil prices, and that stimulates part of the economy, but as we all know, it drives up the value of the Canadian dollar, which hammers Ontario's manufacturing sector. And in case anyone hadn't really noticed, we've lost about 350,000 jobs here in Ontario in the past year and a half alone.
And all of the CBC.
Yeah. Dan, it's Dave Whitford
here.
There's
more coming that way. But there is something that can be done, and I think that's to recognize that the Americans are trying to plug this hole through an act which they passed, but it is going to require international coordination. You can't have one country saying we're going to, you know, amend this thing, get the cop back on the beat to make sure that people who are making these purchases, you know, are limited in what they can do, that they, you know, that they're what they call position limits. And that's really critical because, frankly, I don't know what business insurance companies have or the Ontario Teachers Pension Fund or any of these others have buying oil futures. It's not supply and demand. It, in fact, destroys the supply and demand and then puts us back in the same pickle we've been in for the past 4 years, and that's a near recession. Yeah.
But Dave, it's Dave Whitford here, Dan.
Hey, Dave, good to see you.
You too.
he would be the cop on the beat that you're talking about.
Yeah, I'd be the cop on the beat you're talking about. What really gets me is, you know, the costs, how they change, you know, from one area to another. And just last week when it went up like 2 or 3 cents, and I'm seeing a 5 cent difference from, let's say, Orillia into the Toronto area. Why does that happen?
That's a great question, David, because what's happened is that you've got a situation where oil companies outside of the, you know, out of the big smoke, if you will, aren't charging the same retail or refinery margins. So in smaller communities like Orillia, headquarters of OPP, I know why you've been up there a couple times, you know, you've got a 5 to 7 cent advantage, which we feature on tomorrow's gas price today.com. That's my little plug.
Okay.
But it basically comes down to this. Ultramar, Pioneer and others are extremely competitive in those less than traveled markets, and people can make savings of as much as 12 cents a liter given given the whatever day of the week it is. I've seen prices of $1.36 in Toronto and $1.26 in places like Orillia or Orangeville. Even some places like Niagara Falls. So here you have no refineries in Toronto. Here you have no independent gas retailers left in the Toronto area. They're really agents working for the major companies. Costs a lot to run a site in Toronto, given the real estate and taxes alone. So there's a lot of the reasons why there's a big difference between, say, Cobourg, Port Hope in Toronto, or Orillia in Toronto, or for that matter, even if you go out to Niagara Falls or St. Catharines in Toronto.
Mm-hmm.
Dan, quickly, I've got a question. In the old days, it was just pennies difference between super and regular. How come we see such a huge variance now between premium gas and regular gas?
Again, no competition in Toronto, so you see 15 cent a liter differentials between regular and supreme, or you know, the premium brand. The difference at the wholesale level is maximum 5.5 cents a liter.
Wow, so they really
are. Toronto. So
we are getting gouged, my friend.
Even diesel,
it's a 10 cent. And maybe you guys can have a debate on this, but the way cars are built today, and at least certainly the new ones that need supreme. There's a debate as to whether or not you actually need to put, you know, your 91s, your octane, that level. I mean, some cars can compensate for that. So if you want to save 10 cents a liter and not have to visit the mechanic anytime soon, not that I'm trying to take business away from anyone here, want to just risk that, or at least drive outside where Dave says, up to Orillia, you'll find it's at least 8 cents a liter cheaper.
Dan, you should answer that. What happens when you don't have the high-octane fuel for an engine that requires it, it draws back the timing. It'll hear a knock in the engine.
Right.
It'll draw back the timing, and the car will get worse fuel economy. So it's you can't win. You'll get 50 miles to the gallon. You'll probably get like 40 miles to the gallon because the car is not running efficiently.
Yeah. I've a number of people that I've worked with in the past have said, look, it's a risk that some people will take.
Yep.
A lot of cars, because of the variance in octane and the variance in a barrel of oil and what is put as far as additives, you go from one station to another, you will find very different qualities in terms of gasoline. They say 91.
Well, thanks. You made me feel really good. So I'm getting ripped off by paying too much for premium gas. And now you're telling me I may be getting crap anyways.
God. You never know. Every barrel of oil is different. And so the outcome may be very different. But cars, I think, compensate for that. The oil, automotive industry, I think, has been very good at recognizing that not every single drop of gasoline or diesel or Supreme is the same.
There's a movement in the U.S., by the way, to try and get us to go into methanol.
I think we should get Dan in here because he sounds like a mechanic already. You know, did you hear?
Same with the diesel, though.
Those words of advice were tremendous.
Very good mechanic and a great drummer.
Thank you very much.
Dan, thank you.
We can have a love fest.
Bye, Dave. Bye, Alan.
Thanks, Dave.
Tomorrow's gas price today, Dan McTeague's website. And it's a fascinating site because it actually gives a history of what the gas was last year and year before. It's good stuff.
And, of course, quickly check your tire pressures. Check your air filters.
Yes.
And check before you buy the next car to make sure it doesn't need premium, because you may find out after the fact that it does. And you're going to get ripped off by 10 or 15 cents a liter just to get that better gas.
Dave, you're saying?
No, I was just saying about the diesel prices, and talked to a lot of truck drivers in the last couple of weeks, and they're buying their fuel in the States. The diesel is cheaper in the States than it is up here.
Bring it across the border.
Yeah.
The problem is, if you roll that truck over, all the fuel spills out on the street.
And so we got to clean it up.
I can see it.
There you go.
Dave, I can see the day when that happens, and they're going to say, well, we need some HST. How much gas is in your tank?
Yeah.
You know what? There you go. That'll answer that question. We'll be right back. Actually, we'll take some phone calls, and we're going to talk to Gary Clayton about old radios. And when we come back, we'll talk about always a question about regular gas gauge.
Something. Okay, there we go. 416-360-0740. If you've got a question, give us a call. We'll be back in just a moment.
Today's special guest on Dave's Corner Garage is a proud sponsor of the show. You figure it out.
Finally, something I understand. Alan, you really sound good on this.
Yeah. Well, this is a proper recording. Wait till you hear my buddy Sheldon singing. This is Sheldon. He listens to the show all
back.
The time. And this was, I had to put him on. He said, Al, if I'm going to sing this song for you, like Johnny B. Goode, we got to put it on. So there you go. That was the voice of Sheldon R., my favorite keyboard player.
Sounds just like the man. Anyways, welcome back. It's Dave's Corner Garage. And we have Dave Woodford here from the OPP, Alan Gelman from Glen Allen Motors. And we're going right to the phones. We're going to talk to Art from North York, who has a product to regulate gas gauge. Don't understand that one. Go ahead.
Morning.
Good morning.
Hey, guy. How are you?
When it gets up to half full, it goes up and down. But there's something you can put in the gas tank to regulate that.
What are you driving?
88 Nissan pickup.
Hmm.
Well, either have a problem with the sending unit itself, but if not, the first thing you could try is a fuel injector cleaner. General Motors makes their own very fuel injector cleaner. Just drop into any GM dealer and pick some up. You can pour it right in the tank, and if the contacts for the gas sending unit are corroded or have some deposit on them, the cleaner will remove that deposit, and maybe your gas gauge won't fluctuate anymore.
Yeah.
It won't do any damage to the tank itself.
Oh, No.
It's not going to do any harm. It's like chicken soup, eh? I can't guarantee it's going to help, but it won't hurt.
It won't hurt.
The cleaner?
Fuel injector cleaner.
Fuel injector cleaner.
GM had a problem a while ago where Shell gasoline or something was reacting with one of their contacts in the tank. So they invented this cleaner to take that product out of there. I was going to say film. But the reality is it does work. And if you buy that, go to your local GM dealer, buy the stuff, throw it in, run a couple of tanks through and see how you
do. At the end of the day, it'll help clean your injectors, and that can't be a bad thing.
Yeah.
I was going to spend about $1,500. There's a few spots around the... I usually get the rust check every year. There's no rust under the body, but there's a few places I should get fixed up. For a 24-year-old vehicle, do you think I'm crazy?
Yes.
Yes.
Now we can't buy standards anymore. Now we can't get standards.
See, Art, I don't know if you have a wife, but we could fill in for her and tell you that you are crazy, and that's a waste of money, and you need your head examined.
But if you want, we'll send you out $50 Crown coupon to help you out. And,
which a coupon?
From Crown, yeah. They'll give you $50 discount.
Oh, great.
All right,
so
Art.
Make sure we have your address, so hang on. Oren's going to take the call, and he'll make sure that we have your address correct. Otherwise, okay. You ain't going to get nothing. Have a good morning, my friend. Take care.
All right. Well, you know, his truck was 20 years old, but we've got a guy on the radio next, Dave. His name is Gary Clayton.
Yes.
And if you've got an old, old, old car.
Or an old house.
With an old, old-time radio in it.
Yes.
And it's not working.
Gary, good morning.
Gary can fix
it. Good morning.
How gentlemen. Are you, Gary?
How are you this morning?
Good. So it's oldie-time radio.
No, it's not old-time radio.
Whatever. Better. Okay, so tell me, what about the... So you actually repair old radios for cars like in the 50s? And
yep, we rebuild them. Basically, the capacitors are all done in them. They're all wax, and they all need to be replaced. And every car radio has about 20 of them.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, it's a kind of a rebuild. It's like a restoration on the car, only it's on the radio.
So it's waxed, this capacitors are waxed?
Yep, they were waxed back then, yep.
So when you wax the radio, that's when it started to work.
You got
to
give it a wax, exactly. So basically, you're restoring them to their original, you know, type. You're not removing the guts completely.
No. We're redoing the old, we're the old time radio center, not the new time radio center.
So who are your clients?
Oh, they're coming from all over. You never know. They could be in the States. They could be next door to me.
So there's people restoring cars?
I never even knew was there.
So the question I had was, are there folks that are restoring cars? Or folks that are like, it's a stand-up radio or something, and you found it in the flea market, and you bring it home, and it doesn't work?
Yeah, we do them all the time. We also do the cases, too. We do the cabinets and the insides. We have 24,000 tubes in stock.
Oh, wow. I was going to ask, where do you are the manufacturers still making tubes? Can you still buy them?
There's a place in the States that has 500,000 tubes. They're a wholesaler down there out of Arizona.
Yeah.
And they have 500,000 tubes. This is big business in the United States, more so than in Canada.
Especially in the music industry. Some guys in guitars like the fact that a tube
That's
has a
correct.
Different sound, right?
Yeah. They just shipped a couple of 12 AX7s out for an amplifier for a guitar because they wanted them matched, you see. And I had a couple that were made in Germany with new old stock, so... Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it has a special tone to it. Right.
That's right.
Right? And the reality is, I still remember my father with the back of the TV off. So
you should take those tubes and
swap them around, give it a wax, and away it went. So that's reality. So it's still a viable business.
Oh, absolutely. We do more than just that. We do the car radios, but we also do the car clocks as well, which is another avenue all by itself.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
And so then we do the household radios and the household clocks. We do telephones here, antique telephones. We do antique gramophones. So we've got our eggs not just in one basket, but many baskets.
Now you're at the auto auction, which is coming up.
I'll be in the Toronto Classic Car.
That's right.
Auction.
That's exactly right. Yeah.
Yeah, I'll be down there. I'll be vending down there. I do that one twice a year. I do a few shows around.
Makes sense because that's your clientele.
Gary, question: correct. If a guy has an old radio and brings it in, how many eggs does it cost to fix it?
It depends. Mm-hmm. It depends totally on the radio. Sometimes they'll bring the radio in, the veneer's flying off of it all over the place. We have to repair the veneer.
Or you're talking about a desktop unit.
You know, well, even a desktop unit. Mm-hmm. I've had them, total tops have to be redone.
Mm-hmm. Fascinating stuff. Contacts?
They water their plants on them, guys, remember?
Yes.
And the water goes all over the place.
That's right,
you know?
Dave. Remember that too, right, yeah.
That was bad. Grandma didn't know any different, and the water went on the radio and... peeled the veneer and whatever, you know, but we do all that as well.
Gary, how do they get a hold of you if they want to talk to you?
Yeah, they can get a hold of me at 519-357-4304. They can mail me at 9 Queen Street, Box 1, Belgrave, Ontario, NOG1EO, or they can email me at oldoldetime@tnt21.com.
All right, perfect.
Got it.
All right, great, Gary. Thanks for taking the time.
See you at
Thank
the show.
Thank you for having me, gentlemen. You have a super day and enjoy yourselves.
Thank you so much. Take care.
Thanks.
By the way, the Classic Car Auction, 13th, 14th, and 15th at the airport. And if you got something you want to sell, get it down there. I bought some cars down there last auction. I put my hand up. I was just scratching my head. I bought a couple of cars. So the reality is, yes, if you want to sell your car, the action's there. And we'll be giving out tickets for that next week.
We see it's very important when somebody's restoring a car that you want to keep it in as original condition as possible.
That way,
and that's exactly what Gary's doing. He's keeping that radio working just the way it should. Same thing with the clocks. I didn't know that. How many, you know, invariably in an old car, the clocks never did work, eh?
Some of them work for like 20 days.
20 days
yeah, it's amazing stuff.
Yeah, perfect.
So, there you go. Okay, so we'll be right back after it, and we're only doing your phone calls. So we have one line open if you want to call in, and we're going to talk to Lois next from Toronto with a Cadillac question. I'm a Cadillac man, you know that.
Excellent. You look like one
My
of those old guys with the feather and the hat, as a matter of fact.
Except I can't afford to fill it.
416-360-0740. Give us a call right now.
Clunker in Kitchener, car query in Collingwood. Call Dave's Corner Garage and get it resolved. To reach Dave and Alan on Zoomer Radio AM 740, call 416-360-0740 or toll free in Ontario at 1-866-740-4740.
What is this one?
I don't know. It's
sounds like a bird song.
Tired of slipping and a sliding with a long tall saddle. You know what? I thought it was like a splish splash to have a bath kind of song. That's what it sounds like.
Don't you remember splish splash, something in the bath? Okay, we're back. Where did we think that up from? Deep in the vaults. We have. Remember, Gene used to always say we're going into the vaults to get some of these old songs.
Yeah,
there you go.
I would say Oiga vaults. That's what I would say. All right, let's go to John now in Brampton, who's got a question about transmission maintenance. I guess, John, what's happening? Thank you for hanging on.
Yes, I'm looking into the future and a new vehicle. The many vehicles now are coming with constantly variable transmissions, these CVTs.
CVT, yeah.
I've been reading on the internet that they need a lot of maintenance. You have to change the fluid quite frequently.
That would be constantly, right? You constantly need to repair your constant. Never mind, you didn't get it. Go ahead.
No, I've just read that they need the fluid changes or they die very fast, so that you need to change the belts after like 100,000, which again is a very pricey situation. Admittedly, they're supposed to save gas, but I'm concerned about the maintenance costs of the constantly variable transmission versus what you do with a normal transmission.
Well, the C in CVT stands for crap.
And it stands for costly.
It's terrible. The some of these are like $4,000 or $5,000 to rebuild.
The only problem is, for example, a lot of companies have opted completely for them. Like if you buy a Nissan now, I think 90% of their product
is CVT. Chrysler.
Is the same thing, eh?
CVT.
Okay. We're not big fans. I mean, you know what? We've had transmission experts on our show before. I mean, we just general mechanics, but you know, we're passing on the information that we're getting. It costs about $5,000-$6,000 to repair one of those transmissions. How much gas would you have to save to make up the difference?
Yeah.
Because normally, if an automatic transmission fails on a front-wheel drive car, you're looking at, you know, let's say roughly $3,000, and they don't go as often as, but the CVTs break down more often. And it costs $5,000 or $6,000 just to do them.
You know what? They actually tried this technology years ago, and they walked away from it. The little Subaru Justy had a CVT transmission. Nothing but hassles.
Saturn View
had
a CVT transmission. They don't make those anymore.
Yeah. So the bottom line is, I would not purchase a car with a CVT transmission.
Do they fail as often if you do the fluid changes, which I read somewhere was like $800 to do a fluid change, if you do the fluid changes frequently?
I don't know. If you're looking for us to say something nice about these, it ain't happening.
No.
No. You know what? No, we don't like them.
What are you driving? What are you planning to buy?
Well, I was looking at the Honda products that are coming out now, and they're flipping over.
Some of them, yes.
Yes.
The hybrids are mostly.
Now, what I was looking at, the new Accord, supposedly, is coming out with the regular transmission on the V6, but on the 4, it's coming out with the CVT.
You see, it was designed, as Dave said earlier, for vehicles with less horsepower. And when you take, for example, an Audi, where you've got lots of horsepower, and you're trying to put it through that CVT tranny, that's when they fall apart. That's when they fail.
Yep.
So we're telling you no.
Don't buy it.
Pretty much what I read in the internet.
Yep.
Thanks,
don't
guys.
Buy it. Take care. Have a great day.
They can get that on the computer now, eh?
Internet?
The internet's amazing. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay, let's go to Lois. She's got a 97 Cadillac, and we're going to ask some questions there. Lois, good morning.
Lois, how are you?
I'm fine.
Good. What's wrong with your Caddy?
Well, it's still driving, but words come up on my screen. Theft system problem.
Mm-hmm.
Car may not restart. Now, this has been doing this, I'd say, for maybe more than a year. Occasionally, it comes on. I'm not saying every time I drive it. I had it in once to have a Cadillac specialist, so mechanics, so he advertised.
Mm-hmm.
And he said it was a lot of hours and work to try to find the problem.
Mm-hmm.
He did manage to get one of my keys to work, which isn't working anymore. I have to unlock my car with the key, not the remote.
Okay.
Go ahead.
No.
Let's all talk at the same time.
Okay. When the light is on, does the vehicle still start, or are you still having a problem starting it?
I've never had any trouble starting it.
Well, stay away from Hamilton, because apparently if you have a Saturn in Hamilton with a security issue, they don't start there. You know what? I would have to agree that, you're right, it's an older car, and I don't see spending tons of money. If you're not getting any bad reaction as a result of it, I wouldn't jump on
okay.
it necessarily.
I may tell you from
I've never had trouble starting the car. These words bother me. Somebody told me to put black tape over my dash and forget about it.
Well, you can forget about it, but let me explain. We had one of these in with exactly that code.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Cadillac uses what's called a data bus line. In other words, there's one data line throughout the whole car. And all these computers that are operating all these different systems, for instance, the seats or the memory for the door windows, all that stuff goes through the data bus line through a main processor.
If data don't start, you got to take it a bus.
Exactly right. Now,
that's
we spent
what you're talking about.
12 hours on this one Cadillac to remove that line. Turned out the passenger seat had busted because the seat was being moved back and forth, and the wire frayed, shorted out the data bus line, the car wouldn't start. So the bottom line is it can become serious. So I would just drive it right now until it doesn't start, but then be prepared because it's going to be expensive.
Well, I'm thinking of maybe I should be looking at a different car.
I agree.
Yes.
I agree.
Yeah. But how am I going to get rid of a car that has this wording on it? May not restart.
Well, you put the electrical tape on it. You had the answer. Come on.
Whereabouts is your shop?
Oh, give him Dave's address.
No, I don't want to do it. I can't do it.
401 Kipling.
Bring my car in so you can fix it.
401 Kipling. They have extra rolls of tape there that they have specifically for this problem.
This car's only got 110,000 kilometers on it.
You know what? Your best bet, really seriously, is trade it in.
Yeah.
Trade it in.
Because for you to sell a car privately, you've got strange people coming to the door.
I didn't think I'd sell it. I thought I'd be going to the dump.
No. Trade it in. It still has value.
It still has value.
Yeah, you'll always get some value for it because
it's
lower mileage. Where do you live?
Scarborough.
Okay.
You can buy tape there. they sell black.
Isn't that start looking around for what you want, and you will get money for it. I'm thinking.
Well, to tell you the truth, I don't think I'll be going for another Cadillac because the gas is too expensive.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. Go see Mark out there.
Well, yeah, you can that, or you can go with the Kia guys. I can give you Debbie over at Georgetown Kia at 401 Dixie Kia.
They're nice.
Go ahead, it's your turn.
Someone said to me, after you've driven a Cadillac, you're not going to be happy driving a smaller car.
Oh, no.
Well, you know what? I would have to agree in terms of you need to test drive the car that you're thinking about buying. Because you're right. I mean, it's not going to be a big, fat, old, cushy ride in a Kia, a little Kia.
Yeah, but we just bought one, and it's great. Like, we take it on the highway, and you'd never
notice. Oh, no. I agree 100%. I own a Honda Civic, but you know, I've had people, like someone like, you know, like Lois themselves, where I had an older fella who always drove Cadillacs, all of a sudden bought a Mazda and said, it must need chocks because I'm banging and shaking all over the place. But that was the way the car was. You got to be comfortable in the car.
Well, go over to Dixie Honda. They'll look after you. Yeah. Or Dixie.
Okay, sweetie. Thanks so much for the call. Take care.
So how many different cards did we plug in the last 2 minutes, sir?
82.
Okay.
We'll be right back after these messages. We're taking your phone calls. And we're going to talk to David a little bit. We have been avoiding him.
No.
But we're going to talk to him now.
Okay.
Right, as soon as we come back.
So we're going to come back with Roll Over Beethoven. That would be the apropos music here. All right. Can you do that, Dave? Dave's winking. All right. Here we go. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes.
From the gas guzzler in Grimsby to the hot rod in Halliburton, you're tuned up and tuned in to Dave's Corner Garage on Zoomer Radio AM 740. To reach Dave and Alan, call 416-360-0740 or toll-free in Ontario at 1-866-740-4740.
A roll over! a Beethoven. They're rocking in 2x2.
All right.
Rocking in, all right. 2x2. We had.
Welcome back. It's Dave's Corner Garage and, of course, Dave Redinger with Alan Gellman and Dave Whitford, who has been really busy this year. Man, you've done a lot of work.
Rocking and rolling to those highway
truck
ramps.
Rollovers. Yeah. And you know what's amazing? This week, two of them at the exact same location of 400 southbound to the eastbound 401 on that curve.
On different days, though.
Different days, okay. But, you know, what a traffic.
400 southbound, that's that big curve that goes up in the air and comes back down the other side.
Which there actually is. I must say I was impressed because the last time I went through there, the ministry has put up all brand new big signs that said, you're going too fast, pictures of a truck on their side, and you got to slow down, and the people don't read them.
Yeah, it's mainly, like they say, the truck driver's inexperience, traveling too fast. There are advisory signs on there, 60 kilometers for that ramp.
Right.
Even though the ramps are still part of the highway and the highway speed's 100, they're telling you you have to slow down on these ramps. And that's why they put those advisory signs there. Now, a lot of people say, well, why don't they make the speed lower than the regular highway? But, you know, every situation is different. So for trucks, you can't be going 100.
Maybe they could do bigger signage. I mean, for what it costs the province to do a cleanup, I mean, if you have to think about, seriously, you know, the manpower, the equipment that has to come out. Forgetting about, of course, everybody else driving a car who's stuck now in traffic. Right. They should put some big friggin' signs up there that say, slow down, you know?
But, you know, they do. And even if you're going to the 401 southbound to the westbound lanes, they had the speed signs there at one time, how fast you were going.
Yeah.
And still, like, the number of turns.
I got two bitches I want to talk about.
Okay.
Number one, guys cheating when they're going in the HOV lane and there's one person in there. In the car.
Yeah.
And I don't see any police doing anything about it. Really, never. And it's always happening all the time.
So if Buddy be driving with his bitch, then it's okay because you got two people in the lane.
But the reality is they're alone in the car. It's always SUV guys and BMW guys.
Oh, the guys that don't signal.
Right. And they'd be in the fast lane there and they're just scooting along and nobody does nothing. All right. That's one. And guys, I'm doing 120, 119, and that's what traffic's going on. And guys are passing me like they're doing 200 at least.
In the wrong.
And unfortunately, like we'd like to be out there. We do these initiatives where we're doing speed and the HOV initiatives. But the number of collisions, Dave, and they don't realize how many officers it takes up when we're investigating a collision or we're doing actually the report.
So you're stuck somewhere else.
So we're stuck doing other things, and you don't see us on the road because what we try and do is remove them from the highway. We'll take them to a location off the highway, and that's where we're investigating. So the more collisions, officers are tied up, and we can't do the enforcement that is actually slowing the vehicles down.
Interesting. I got to tell you, this happening in Florida, actually, so it's not here. I'm going out 75 in Florida. I've got to get to the airport. It's 3 o'clock in the morning because the plane leaves at 5. And I'm doing 100 kilometers an hour. In the U.S., it's 70 miles an hour. So I'm doing 70 miles an hour in a rental car. This guy passed me. He had him in the 220, 230 because my car almost got blown off the side of the highway.
Yeah.
Come around the corner, and who was out in the field?
We used to have an officer that had a lawn chair he carried with him up to the 404 and, you know, the grassy area. He'd sit out there with the radar gun sitting on this lawn chair, no crews around. So then he had cars up ahead intercepting, and he would get them from the radar. I didn't see no car. No, he's sitting in the lawn chair.
And, you know, they feel bad. I really don't feel bad if a guy gets caught for speeding, like, you know, 130, 140.
Yeah.
But if you're doing 119 and 120, I don't think you should be bothered.
Yeah.
Well, they don't normally.
You're trying to get me
guys to
say it's okay to do that, aren't
well,
you?
Well, I think I think it is okay.
All right, do you have a quick answer? I mean, we talked about extra signage on these ramps, but you say it's the drivers.
No,
How do we get them?
I think it's the inexperience of the drivers going too fast for these ramps. And, like, you can go for a driving course a week and get your AZ license.
That's all it takes?
And a lot of companies
are hiring. You, too, can be a truck driver.
Exactly. But, the trucking industry, they're hauling 80% of our goods throughout Ontario now, and they need truck drivers. And so these guys are getting their licenses and automatically on the highways, and a lot of it's inexperience.
And tired, they get tired.
I've even gone on the record this week with other shows and saying I think there should be some kind of graduated licensing for trucks, truck drivers, just like we do in the mechanic industry. You know, you just don't go out and get your mechanic's license tomorrow.
I wonder if these younger fellows, too, are being distracted by other pieces of equipment in their vehicles when they should be paying attention to the road, eh?
A lot of distractions, and they're on their CB radios. They're still exempt from that legislation.
Oh, yeah.
the distracted driving legislation until the end of 2013.
Oh, I'm so thinking, though, that some of these younger people could be, you know, maybe the younger drivers are texting, too, or on their cell phones.
Could be.
I'm going to be home as soon as I can, you know. Seriously, they shouldn't be doing that.
A lot going on inside a truck, you know, and you're shifting and gears and everything else. Oh.
And you can't do that with a gazillion pounds behind
you. Listen, we apologize if we didn't get you your phone calls. We were really busy. This is the only two-hour show in Toronto that we bang off in 1 hour. Dave Woodford from the OPP, thank you for taking time. Star OPP still good?
No.
Oh, that's no good. Okay.
Because I can't do it on my... Call 911.
Call 911 if you got a problem. And if you don't have a problem, call your mother. Alan, say goodbye.
We've had a slice this week. You know, Please slow down, pay attention while you're driving. That should be your number one concern.
And you save gas.
Exactly.
Dave Gaskin, thank you. He's our operator. He's a smooth operator. And Oren Redinger, my nephew, in the back, doing the phone calls. Want to thank everybody. We had a great day. By the way, get on the website if you can help the station get their... FM license, that would be nice. You can hear us downtown. Have a great weekend. I'm going to go buy some gas and go
home. And you're buying breakfast.
Oh, yeah, I forgot I'm buying breakfast. Okay, guys. See you later. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye, everyone.
Together, just sing a song and bring the sunny weather. Happy trails.
This has been an exclusive podcast of Dave's Corner Garage. Heard every Saturday morning from 10 to 11 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740. This has been an exclusive podcast of Dave's Corner Garage. Heard every Saturday morning from 10 to 11 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740.